This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson. We're continuing to talk baseball, and Inquirer sports writer John Arati has agreed to stay with us. We were going to hear from some folks from the Florence Freedom. They haven't made it here yet today. But on the phone with us, Dayton Dragons Director of Media Relations and Broadcasting and play-by-play announcer Tom Nichols. You can join the discussion by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be talking with you today. Thanks for having me on.
I wanted to start out a little bit for folks that maybe never heard of the Dayton Dragons or maybe have heard the name but don't know how you fit into the Reds organization. Can you tell us that? Well, who are the Dayton Dragons?
Sure. Absolutely. That's a question we get all the time. And as you mentioned, fans have heard that we have a relationship with the Reds. They might not be exactly sure what that is. And to put it in simple terms, we have what's called a player development contract with the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds don't own the team. They don't operate the franchise. They provide us with all of our players, coaches, and training staff. And we have an agreement with the Reds for that to continue into perpetuity. So the Dragons will always be a Reds minor league farm club. The Reds have six farm teams in their system in the United States and two other international affiliates. We're one of the six, and you'll see players playing in Dayton that will one day play for the Reds. And over our history, we've had guys like Joey Votto and Adam Dunn, Austin Kearns, among current Reds, Todd Frazier, Zach Cozart, Devin Mesoraco, Chris Heisey, and so forth. So many of the players you'll see in Cincinnati were players in Dayton as young players.
Yeah, I mean, right now, on this is Howard Wilkinson, by the way, Tom.
Hello, Howard.
Of this roster of the Reds right now, I mean, there's a whole raft of players who came through Dayton. You
Correct.
Know, from Votto to Bruce to Cozart to Frazier, Heisey, Johnny Cueto, Homer Bailey, Logan Andrusik. How many total right now are you at in terms of Dragons who have played in the major leagues?
Over our 15 years, we have had 66, most of those with the Reds, not all. The Reds
right.
have made some trades, and some players have gone on to other teams, or there might be some like Edwin Encarnacion who came through here and played for the Reds and then eventually went on to somewhere else. We've had 66 total over our 15 seasons, and that number will, of course, increase each year as time goes by, and I think we've had about four or five already this year. Tucker Barnhart was one of them. Some with other organizations this year as well. But 66 is the answer to your question.
Tom, I'm from Dayton. I grew up there. And, you know, I know what a transformation the Dayton Dragons and Fifth Third Field have made in that part of downtown Dayton. It's just been incredible in terms of the development around the ballpark and the activity. Turning that area of town around.
What have you seen, Tom?
I'm sorry?
What have you seen? What have you seen in terms of how things have changed since the Dragons came to town?
Well, I have not been here from day one, I'll tell you that. I got here to start the 2008 season. Since that time, a number of new buildings in our part of downtown have been constructed, and it's still going on. Right now, catty corner from the ballpark is a huge construction project. We've had everything from, we've had the Schuster Entertainment Center come in. We've had a number of condos have been constructed right around the ballpark. We've had restaurants. We've had other types of different entertainment. And this was really the first domino that fell. So I think for any downtown facility, that's always something that ownership never promises, but hopes will be part of the draw to a downtown stadium, is that part of downtown will then see some economic growth and commercial growth, and that's happened here for sure, and it's still happening, and I think as time goes by, that's something you'll continue to see more of.
John?
Tom, this is John Arati at the Cincinnati Inquirer. You've taken great care of me when I've come up there in the past to see various major leaguers either get a rehab start, or in the case of Billy Hamilton, I want to see him play a couple of times as he was on his way up. So it's a very valuable thing for a guy like me to be able to drive an hour and see these young people as they come up on their way to the major leagues. My question for you is, it's such a fabulous experience there in Dayton. The ballpark is wonderful. I love the area around it. You spoke about that. My question is, can a Cincinnati fan down here in the Queen City get a ticket to a ball game in Dayton? Because you guys are in an incredible run of sellouts up there.
We do have a sellout streak, and John, yes, we've always enjoyed having you up here. And if you get a chance to come up this year and see some of our top prospects, like a couple of former first-round draft picks, Nick Travieso and Philip Irvin, and I think we'll see how things go over the next few days. We may have an announcement possibly of another first-rounder. We'll wait and see how that plays out. But ticket-wise, as you mentioned, we do have a sellout streak going. It's over 1,000 now. It's the longest sellout streak in the history of professional sports.
Wow.
In North America. Ticket-wise, I would suggest calling the ticket office and checking before you drive up. There are usually lawn tickets available for most any game. If you're looking for a stadium seat, I would call ahead of time. We are required to hold back X number of tickets each night for players, coaches, families, and so forth. And if we don't need all of those, we will put those on sale the last 30, 45 minutes before the first pitch. So sometimes you can actually walk up and buy a ticket, literally a few minutes before the game starts. I wouldn't necessarily count on coming up from Cincinnati, but if you call the ticket office or look online, you may find some seats to a game you're looking to attend. Or if you've got a couple of game options, our ticket department can look on the computer, see what's available, and hopefully find something to a date that's a fit for you. So that would be the best way to go about that process. But by all means, we definitely feel like Reds fans who live in Cincinnati or somewhere within a 90-minute drive would enjoy a day at a Dragons game. And if you're a big fan and you want to look at future prospects, there's nothing more interesting than trying to predict. I mentioned a moment ago there's 66. There's nothing more interesting than trying to predict which guys are going to make it, which guys you thought would make it, but you get here and he doesn't quite look as far along as you thought. Or the guy that you may see him in April, if you saw Billy Hamilton, John, in April and then came back and saw him here in Dayton in August, you're looking a whole different player, and so that was a process we saw develop right before our eyes. I mean, as you'll remember this, John, it took Billy till the end of May to get above the 200 mark, and then by the time he was finished here, he was an absolute weapon offensively, not just with his feet, but he finished all the way up around, I think, 275. So he hit over 300 over the last couple of months, and you'll see that happen as well. So it's a great chance to see some future Reds players. And you'll see them in a nice environment, as you talked about, fun environment that I think most anyone, whether you're a big baseball fan or not, would enjoy.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Tom, because for me, I was a longtime watcher of minor league baseball in Syracuse, where I grew up. But more importantly, I watched my brother come up through the minors with the Brewers and the Seattle Mariners, and I got a real taste for minor league baseball. And what it told me more than anything else, Howard, you can speak to this, is the game doesn't begin at the major league level.
Right.
It gives you a great appreciation when you see minor league baseball, and Tom, you alluded to it, to watch these kids work their way up. When they get here, especially if they stick, baby, they've earned it. And that is so much fun to have that perspective.
Yeah. It's so much fun to watch these kids and the kids that are there in Dayton now as they develop. And as Tom says, try to project in your mind, okay, is this kid going to make it to the major leagues? Tom, I'm lucky enough to have a cousin who has season tickets, and when she and her husband don't go, they call me, and I get the tickets.
And so I'll be calling Howard now that I know that.
Right, yeah.
I think a lot of people
so
are going
to be calling. I get to see quite a few games up in Fifth Third Field, and it is quite an experience.
It's a fun atmosphere.
I was listening to you last night, listening to the game and the pregame show, and you were talking to the executive vice president about the impending sale of the Dragons.
Right.
And
that's correct.
And, you know, obviously that's going to happen very soon. Mandalay Baseball is, you know, selling the team. And he made it quite clear that the fans probably won't notice any changes. Is that right?
Yes, I believe so. You know, anytime there's talk of a sale, and I've been through this in various places, fans start, I guess, thinking, well, what's the worst case scenario? Does that mean that, you know, the Dragons could leave Dayton or no longer be a Reds affiliate? All those things that pop into the heads of fans, and none of those things are going to happen. Number one, we've got a long-term lease with the city here. We have a long-term agreement with the Reds. And even beyond those things, I think just, Howard, I think you would agree, just common sense would tell you
why mess with success.
It's working here about as well as it's going to work anywhere. So why would you consider really changing anything or moving anything? And minor league baseball, affiliated minor league baseball, operates on a franchise system. So what the new owners have purchased is a Midwest League franchise, one of the 16 Midwest League franchises, and they'll own that franchise. And we'll be one of the teams in this league into the future. And as Eric mentioned, the other thing that, of course, you can appreciate this, I'm sure anyone would, when you are a staff member like I am and our other 40 or 45 staff members full-time here, and you have an ownership change, well, you know, you think about the things that anyone would. And they've told us that, number one, that Bob Murphy, our president, will stay, and the staff intact will stay. So that was good news for us, and I think it's hopefully the fans would appreciate that as well. But it's going to be a process over the next month or so as this is approved by Minor League Baseball, Major League Baseball, the Midwest League, and our new owners, Palisades Arcadia Baseball, will purchase the team from Mandalay, who's owned the team since before the team played its first game the first game was in 2000. The Mandalay team bought the Mandalay company bought the team in 1999. So they've had it for a long time, and now it's time, I guess, for a new group to take over and take us on to the next level.
We're talking baseball this afternoon with Inquirer sports writer John Arardi, and on the phone with us from the Dayton Dragons, we have Tom Nichols, also WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We had promised you some folks from the Florence Freedom, and they have not shown up. And I'm going to ask Howard and John briefly here before we talk some more about the Dragons. What's the difference between the Dragons and the Freedom?
Well, the Freedom is, and Tom mentioned it, basically the Freedom is an independent league team. It's unaffiliated with any major league club, and it's a lower level of baseball because these are the guys either on their way down or trying to break their way into organized baseball. It's fun to watch. It's a good experience, too, but you don't quite get the quality of play you get in Dayton.
Yeah, I mean, all the Dayton Dragons are all, you know, drafted by the Cincinnati Reds in the amateur draft, and they're signed to contracts, and that's not the case at the Freedom. But, you know, that can be a fun experience, too.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of having the Freedom here in town, and this is true throughout, and Tom can speak to this, true throughout baseball, that nowadays your independent league teams are in major league cities because that's where the people are. But what I like about Dayton, and maybe you can speak about this, Tom, is that I love the ballpark. I love the fact that it's one deck, it's easy to watch the game, and I love that area in right field where basically you can stand there and watch the game if you're walking by, and that used to be the old way of doing it. You can't get that experience anywhere in the major leagues. Talk about that, Tom, a little bit about that right field area.
Okay, John, and first of all, I did spend 3 years in independent ball as a broadcaster and really enjoyed it. As you say, it's a little bit different. Independent ball is 100% about winning, and that's one thing that's unique about it. They do not care if they develop anyone. They are there to win a championship, and every day you come to the ballpark and your manager's job is to win games. We're an affiliated ball. You want to win, yes, but at the same time, there's stipulations on who plays, who starts, who gets the at-bats, who gets the innings, and you're trying to develop future Reds players or whomever the affiliation may be with. But our ballpark has a couple of unique features, as you mentioned. We have several what we call lawn sections where you can bring a picnic blanket, spread out, sit on the grass, watch the game. It's good. Some fans prefer that if they have children who like to, you know, walk around a little bit as opposed to being in a seat. Obviously, for some fans, they prefer a seat. But in some situations, that's good, and there's room to sit down, walk around, and enjoy the game that way. Then there's an area you spoke of a moment ago on First Street where there is a fence that you can actually stand on the sidewalk outside the ballpark and see most of the field, not all. And people do walk by and watch the game from time to time from out there. And it's definitely unique. I guess in the major leagues, John, the closest thing you might maybe think of would be Wrigley with the rooftop locations, although they've turned those into money-making situations. But it's certainly unique to minor league baseball. And some of those elements, when you go from ballpark to ballpark around our league, there's such a difference. You've got ballparks built before World War II that are still the big covered grandstand type of stadiums, and then you've got some of the newer parks that were built within the last 10 years with big money, as minor league baseball, as you know, has changed dramatically really since probably about pre-1985. The minor league baseball whole gamut has changed from the days when they just opened the ballparks almost like city parks, and however many fans came, that was okay. And now that you really market the team with fireworks shows and mascots and really working to run a business, and that's the difference in minor league baseball from now. And if you go back to about 1985, was kind of when that change started.
You know, that's interesting, and Howard can speak to this too, Tom, is that if I had a young family and the Reds were out of town and my kids love baseball, I guarantee you I'd find a way to get some seats in Dayton because it is so much fun, and it's baseball as it was meant to be. It's a lively crowd, but a smaller crowd. It's definitely more intimate. You talked about that lawn area. The food's good. The team shop is good for your merchandise. It's really a great, fun atmosphere, and again, I say the same thing over and over again. Baseball is not only played at the major league level.
Right.
It's a lot of fun to watch baseball in Dayton.
Yeah, one of the features I like about Dayton, too, is that I think just about every home game they have one of the players in the Dragon's Den in the gift shop signing autographs after the game.
That's cool.
And it's a great thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We need to put you guys on our marketing staff.
Yeah. And Tom, let me ask you this about, you know, just the nature of minor league baseball. You know, you're in the Midwest League in the Eastern Division. Your season is split into two halves. And the rosters change, you know, from one half to the other. You know, some of the players get promoted. So, you know, people now who are going to Dayton Dragons games are seeing some new players, and sometimes it takes a little while for them to adjust, because they're being promoted from Billings or wherever. That's just part of the deal, though, isn't it?
Nature of the beast, that's right. And it's happening to us right now, Howard, because we at the midpoint of the season had 15 player transactions, and it's unique. If you think about, for example, compare it to a college situation, how would you feel with, let's say, a college basketball team, if at the halfway point of the season, the top third of your roster got moved off the club, and another third that didn't make your team out of camp came in and joined the team? I mean, it's going to change your whole team dramatically. And you hope that the other teams do the same thing, that they lose their best players and they get guys to take their place that didn't make their team out of spring training. So it's kind of chopping off the top and adding to the bottom, and everybody sort of moves up a little bit into more important roles. And you hope those guys, as the season moves along, as you say, they make the adjustments. They're seeing pitching that they've never seen if they're hitters, if they're pitchers. They're seeing hitters that can hit pitches that they've not been used to being able to throw that pitch in that spot and have the guy hit it. So the adjustments that need to be made, but that's minor league baseball. It's a long process. That's why baseball is so unique to some other sports, where you draft a guy in the NFL and he's on your team the year you draft him, and he may be starting, and that's so rare in the minor leagues. I think Mike Leake skipped the entire minor leagues when the Reds drafted him, but he is an extremely rare situation. Usually, you know, for a high school player, you're looking at somewhere around 5 years. For a college player, maybe 3 years on average before he reaches the major leagues. And so there's a lot of seasoning that needs to take place to get the finer points of the game. And in some cases, if you take a guy like a Todd Frazier, it took him a while to figure out what position he was going to play.
Yeah.
And he was drafted as a shortstop, played shortstop for us. I think we could see right away that he wasn't going to stick at shortstop because he did not have the explosiveness that you look for in a shortstop defensively. but he had the hands of an infielder. So you thought, well, first base or third base would probably work. They also tried him some of the outfield, and eventually they settled on third base, and he's become almost a Gold Glove quality player there. And that some of that went on here. So that's part of the process as well.
Tom, I have a question for you. I tend to follow players for the same reason you mentioned that the Reds are trying to get guys to the big league. So I'm trying to figure out who's going to wind up here someday. But my question is, how are you doing in the standings? And in the case of a split season where you get to basically start anew for the second half, is that good for you? Because the reason I ask, very recently a major league manager, I forget who, said baseball should change its way of doing things and have a split season just like they do in the minors. Because
we've got about 15 seconds, so
yeah,
I'm going to let him respond.
Take it, Tom.
Real quick.
Well, for us this year, the split season was bad because we finished in third place and the top two get in. So we had to start back at 0-0. So we'll see how the second half goes. Thanks for having me on the air, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. And thank all of you for listening today. John, thanks for staying an extra half hour.
My pleasure. We appreciate it.
Sorry the Florence Freedom folks weren't able to join us today. We've been talking with Dayton Dragons Director of Media Relations and Broadcasting and play-by-play announcer Tom Nichols and Inquirer sports writer John Arardi. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson.